So I invite you to open your Bible to 1 Corinthians, and that will be chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We try to look at this idea of what true Thanksgiving is. There's a lot of ideas out there. Things have changed in our country in terms of what people think Thanksgiving is all about. With the advent of the TV, you know, we think it's mostly about football games and other activities. The Bible has something else to say about it, though. I want to give you some principles this morning that I hope will encourage you in this idea of Thanksgiving, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're only going to look at verse 6, not one verse. I would ask you to join me by standing. 8 and verse 6 as we reverence the reading of the Word of God. Paul says, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through Him." Well, let's pray. So, Father, we have been challenged now by the reading of Your Word. We pray now that that challenge will result in us exalting You and praising You as the giver of all things, as the one unto whom we should always be thankful. Help us, Heavenly Father, to put this life in perspective of the sovereign God. Help us to do that, Lord, that our hearts will be full of praise no matter what our circumstances are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Well, it is obviously no secret that our country is in turmoil. I mean, you turn on this TV set in an evening and catch the news, and it's blatantly thrown into your face. We have a lot of fear in our day and age. You know, a lot of people are convinced that America is about to explode. And maybe so, I don't know. Some people think we're on the verge of some kind of a civil war. Maybe we are. Maybe that would be a good thing. I don't know. People are saying, well, you can't trust the government today. Everything that comes out of the government is a lie. And so we have some fear of our government. We can't trust our government. And socialism, of course, is on the horizon. We have problems in our economy. Right now, we think things are pretty good, and they are. I'm not, you know, griping too much about the economy. But we have no assurance, we have no guarantee that our economy is going to remain stable, and so we try to protect ourselves from a collapse in our economy. There's still this problem of people killing people, and sometimes what we call in terms of mass killing, and we still have this problem of students going into school buildings and still killing other students, and everybody's asking why. I mean, every time there's such a killing like this, the news media is always asking why. And of course, we are God's people. It's not a mystery to us. Jesus told us last week that men were godless and that they are lawless. Men do what they want to do. They are lawless. It's in their hearts. And so they please themselves. Our society is in a mess. Homosexuality is the thing you hear about. I don't know how rampant it is, to be honest with you. They make a big deal out of it, I can tell you that. You know, it seems like it's rampant when you listen to people talk about it. But when you get down to the very statistics of it, you know, it's like 1 or 2 or 3% of our culture. And, of course, you have all this stuff going on about transgender dysphoria. And then there's your common ones of adultery and fornication and pornography and sex outside of marriage and sex education, sexually explicit shows, and on and on and on and on and on. And then we have our own problems, right? You know, we have our own financial difficulties. We have our families to deal with, and we have our jobs to deal with. We have our neighbors to deal with, you know, and we have our own local government to deal with. So, man, world's a tough place. Tough place to be. A tough time to be alive today. I kind of liked the 60s when I grew up. Maybe I was just dumber back then. I didn't see everything, you know. But I kind of liked it back then. It seemed simpler. It seemed nicer. It seemed kinder back in the 60s than it does today. And maybe I'm just ignorant, you know, and I didn't understand everything. That's probably true to some degree. But we're in a mess. Things are hard. Things are difficult. I mean, there's tension. You drive down the road and you can see the tension by the way people drive today. Always in a hurry, always upset if you're not, you know. So you can see it. You can feel it. It's there. How are we going to deal with this? How are we going to rise above all of this? How do we deal with all this stuff? And you know, how do we manage to maintain a joyful and a contented attitude in life in the midst of everything that's going around? How do we maintain it? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. In one word, the solution is Thanksgiving. And when I talk about Thanksgiving, I'm not talking about Thursday. Now, Thursday's part of it, surely, you know, and I'm glad that our country does set aside one day of the year, you know, for us to gather and call it Thanksgiving. But what I'm talking about is not just one day of the year. I'm talking about the principle and the need of daily Thanksgiving, especially in the heart of God's people. You know, I got online, of course, and doing some research, and I looked at websites called The History of Thanksgiving. And I would get on there, and I think I maybe read 5 or 6 histories of Thanksgiving, you know. And it was amazing to me that they never once mentioned in any of them about being thankful to God. It's amazing. Maybe I should have been surprised. Maybe it's not amazing. I don't know. But they all basically said, you need to be thankful for your blessings, period. That's all they said. Just be thankful for your blessings. And it'll solve all of your problems. I don't know about you, but that is rather insipid to me. It's a lot of meaningless garble to me that we're just supposed to somehow or another be thankful, and that's the end of the discussion. And don't misunderstand me, you know. I think we do need to be grateful. But when you tell somebody, hey, thank you, what are you doing when you tell somebody thank you? You are acknowledging that there was a source to whatever it is you got or whatever you experienced. Somebody spent their time, somebody spent their money, somebody went out of the way, somebody did something for you. So that is why you say thankful, and you acknowledge that there was a source to that good thing in your life. That is what true, genuine thankfulness involves. Acknowledging the door just didn't open for you. Somebody opened the door. The food doesn't just appear on the table. Somebody went through the process of buying the food, cooking the food, preparing the food, setting it on the table, getting it ready. It just didn't pop and appear there. Somebody did that for you. Those gifts you get at Christmas, they don't just magically appear under the tree. Somebody went through the effort of finding out what you liked, and then they bought it, and they spent their money, and they spent their time, and they wrapped the gifts, and they put them under the tree. They don't just appear there. They don't just appear. The essence of Thanksgiving is acknowledging the source of the blessing. The essence of Thanksgiving is acknowledging the source of the blessing. Otherwise, it is not truly gratitude, and it is not truly Thanksgiving. You know what it is? If you don't acknowledge the source of the gift of what was given to you, that is a psychological crutch. That's all that is. It's a psychological crutch. Are you implying then that merely being thankful isn't helpful? I'm not implying that at all. I know that there have been studies done to show that people who are grateful, and I know that there have been studies done that show that people who are thankful greatly improves their attitude toward life. And you know, and some of the I read a study on some of the Vietnam vets that have come back. They have problems adjusting to life. They have some post-traumatic stuff going on in their life. And one of the things that they always encourage these vets to do is to be thankful. And it does improve their mental attitude. I'm not saying there is no value to it whatsoever, but I'm saying it really does not get to the root of their problem. And it doesn't get to the root of your problem either. Greatness will improve, but it comes up short. It really does not do the complete job. You may feel better. I'm not denying that. You may be able to cope with life a little better. I'm not denying that. But the essence of thanksgiving and gratefulness truly is acknowledging the source of your blessings. The source. There are two sources. I'm going to generalize here and say there are two sources of blessings. Number one is yourself. And number two is other people. A lot of people fall into the category number one. We kind of think that we earn this stuff. We got this stuff. You know, this is our stuff. We are we claim to be the source of what we have. Now, the problem with that is that things may not go like you want them to go, and therefore your blessing, your happiness or your joy, whatever it is going to ebb and flow. It's going to ebb and flow with what you think you earn or what you think you don't have or whatever the case may be. So there's no stability there. You know, a lot of people either consciously or subconsciously fall into that particular group. And their thankfulness fluctuates. It fluctuates with their circumstances. If their circumstances are good, that's great. If their circumstances are bad, they fall into depression. That's just the way it goes. The second group. Now, in the second group is others. Now, I'm going to take the second group, and I'm going to further divide that. There are others in terms of other people, and there is the other in terms of God Almighty. Okay? So, there are a lot of people that contribute to your life. You know, friends, family, whatever the case may be, they do things for you, they help you, and you are thankful for them, you know, and that's good, there's nothing wrong with that. But still, again, you run into the same problem with the first group, and that is your thankfulness or your joy or your blessings are going to fluctuate. You know, some people are going to be a blessing to you, but some people are going to be a curse to you. And so your benefits or your blessings are going to fluctuate. But now let's talk about, and maybe I ought to put God in his own category, I don't know. I thought about that. But that leaves us basically with one alternative, and that is God himself. God being the source of our blessings. And even more important than that, God is the source, as we're reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, Paul says, God is the source of everything. Every circumstance and every situation in your life. Paul said, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. The essence of thanksgiving, as Paul says here, is that there is one God, the Father, from whom come all things. We exist for him, one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. You gotta get that principle down in the depths of your soul as deep as you can get it in your heart. True thanksgiving. It's always going to be built on the sovereignty of God. He wants you to acknowledge his control over every single thing in your life. When we disobey God, we have not taken God out of control of our lives. Somehow or another we get this messed up idea. Okay, I've disobeyed God. It means I've taken God out of control of my life. No, you haven't. You haven't taken God out of control of your life. You say, well, what does it mean when you disobey God? It means you disobey God. That's what it means. It means you disobey God, and you may do things of your own choosing, but your disobedience does no way subject God's sovereignty to you. God is always going to be sovereign all times over everything, even when you disobey him.
Disobedience is disobedience. It has nothing to do with somehow or another minimizing the sovereignty and control of God over your life. God wants us to acknowledge then and consent to His control. When we do that, it doesn't matter what your circumstances may be. It does not matter what your situation is. You can always be thankful because your eyes are now open to the providence of God and to the presence of God in all circumstances. The lack of thankfulness is due to the fact that our hearts are not acknowledging the sovereignty of God. When we ignore and we reject the sovereignty of God, you will always grumble and gripe and complain and carp. I don't know how many times the nation of Israel grumbled. You see it all through the Old Testament, over and over again, even to get to the New Testament and the First Corinthians chapter 10. They refused to accept the Lord's will and the Lord's leadership in His sovereignty. And it got them in a state of grumbling. Here's what the psalmist said. He said, they grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Psalm 106 and verse 25. They did not listen to the Lord, voice of the Lord. They refused to accept and see that God was working in their lives. They refused to believe that God was in control. They refused to believe that God knew what He was doing. When you believe that God is sovereign, and that God is good, you will find yourself being thankful. If you believe that, in every situation, you believe that God is sovereign, that God is in it, and that God is good, you will be thankful. Now, what is the true benefit of thankfulness? Well, you've already kind of mentioned it. You've already kind of touched on it. If we're truly thankful, that means we're going to be filled with joy, and we're going to be happy, and we're going to be content with life. Well, you know what? That's you know, there's some truth to that. And generally speaking, that's what we shoot for, right? Because we want to be happy. We don't, you know, we don't be frustrated. We don't be depressed. We want to be joyful. We want to be happy and so forth and so on. That's what we want. And so a lot of people say, yeah, and the way you get there is by being thankful. And yes, I know there's a grain of truth to that. But to be completely honest with you, that's kind of where the psychologists come from. That's kind of where psychology wants to go. The whole goal of psychology is to figure out how to make you happy, you know, and how to make you joyful, you know, that kind of thing there. And you know, I understand that. I get that. But really and truly for the Christian, for you and me, the goal is much different. Just being happy is a byproduct. That's really what it is. And it really, really and truly, you know, that is not ultimately what God is aiming for, although that's what you're going to get. I'm not denying that. And the Bible talks about that, you know. But I'm going to tell you this, that the real ultimate benefit of thanksgiving is being humble. Really and truly. The real benefit of thanksgiving is humility. That's what it is. Joy, happiness, gratefulness is a result of humility when you really think about it. This is what distinguishes, humility is what distinguishes true joy and true happiness from what the world claims. It really is. Humility is when you embrace the sovereignty of God.
It is recognizing that you are not the source of anything that you have, as Paul is saying here, that you are a slave and that you are totally dependent upon your master. You simply bow before God with an outstretched hand and you depend upon His goodness, and that makes you thankful for anything that you receive in life. Humility makes you recognize that you are dependent upon God and that you can do nothing in of yourself, and it opens you to the goodness of God. And you cannot come into the presence of God without acknowledging His sovereignty. And you cannot acknowledge His sovereignty without a deep, contrite sense of humility. They go together. And our hearts then overflow with thanksgiving to this God that we worship. Well, you say, well, that's all nice and good. That's theology, and I like that, and that's okay. But really and truly, preacher, how can I practice this? How can I get up tomorrow morning and put this to work? How's this going to change my life? How's this going to affect me? Let me give you four principles, okay? Four principles. Number one, prayer. I know that seems so simple, but it is so true. You must be involved in prayer if your life is going to change at all. And prayer, to me, I'm going to tell you at the very beginning, is going to be the hardest step of this whole process. And I'm talking about consistent prayer. I'm not talking about going to the table on Thanksgiving Day and thanking God. I'm not talking about coming to church and listening to the men pray or listening to the preacher pray. You know, that's all perfunctory. I'm talking about getting alone with God for extended periods of time in a quiet and uninterrupted place so that you might pray to Him and seek Him and know His presence in your life. Your life is not going to change unless you get to that place in your life where you're going into your closet like Jesus commanded us to do, and get alone with God, because God wants you to be grateful. He's going to open the doors, your eyes to the things that you need to be grateful in your life and thank Him for and glorify Him for. The reason most people who are calling themselves Christians are depressed and frustrated and worried and upset is because they're not focusing on the goodness of God. When you get alone with God, the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and the Spirit of God is going to open your eyes to the goodness of God. That's what the Spirit of God does. That's how He works. That His main theme in life is to show you who God is. You're going to see His power. You're going to see His majesty. You're going to see His goodness. And that's going to humble you. It's going to humble you. The Holy Spirit, if God is commanding you to be grateful, if God is commanding us, and He is, if God is commanding us to be thankful, it is because He has given us things to be thankful for. And we see that a lot when we pray. Number two, express your gratitude regardless of your circumstances. Number two, express your gratitude regardless of your circumstances. And really, this is a little unnatural. But the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why is He commanding us in everything to give thanks? Because it again is a sign of the sovereignty of God. That God is in control of all things in our lives. You don't know everything there is to know. You can't see everything that there is to see. You know, God does. God knows what your life needs. He sees everything. He looks at your situation. He looks at your circumstances. And He understands why. You don't understand why. You don't see everything. You don't have infinite knowledge. But He does. He understands why. I'm not saying that life is going to be easy. There's simply a lot of things in life that you're not going to understand. But you can purpose to arise
above every circumstance and every situation by resting in the power and the presence of God. Number three, praise God when it is well. I know this is kind of a subset of number two, of praising God regardless of your circumstances. But I think it's necessary to separate this one out. To praise God when everything is good. When you feel like everything is well. This to me is probably one of the greatest tests of humility, is praising God when things are going well. It is still acknowledging the sovereignty of God. The problem is that when things are going well, we tend to get lazy, we tend to get slack, you know, we tend to get comfortable, we stop praying, we stop recognizing the sovereignty of God, we become indulgent in the blessings of God rather than praising Him for them. We need to run to God with the same humility when things are good that we have when things are not so good. That's true. We need to run to God when things are good with the same humility that we have when we approach Him when things aren't going like we think they ought to go. Same humility. Acknowledging the goodness of God. Acknowledging the goodness of God. The Bible says this, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting or shadow. And then finally, I'm going to give you one assignment. Be thankful every day for three things. Get up, go through your day, find three things you can genuinely be thankful for. Set your sail. Get on the journey of gratefulness. You know, it's not many. You know, three things is not much. We can all do that. But my prayer is that when you begin to see three things, that you'll see four. And that you'll see five. And that you'll see six. And before long, you'll see a host of things that'll cause you to be thanking and praising God. Make it a daily practice of your life. Like I said, if God commands us to be thankful, it's because He's given us things to be thankful for. We have to believe that principle. If He's commanding us to be thankful, He's given us things to be thankful for. Practice it. Practice it. And finally, of course, there's the greatest gift of all that God has given us. And that's Jesus Christ. God sent Him to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the penalty we could not pay. I'm going to ask Brother Doyle to come and to help us with an invitation hymn here. Like I said, God is the source of all things. You have no input, I don't know that I like that word, to your salvation. You cannot contribute anything to being saved. You can't do it. It's all of God. All of it. The Bible says this, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. This is something that you as a child of God, you need to be thankful for. God never gets tired. He will never grow weary of you coming before Him and saying, thank you God for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross and pay for my sins. When we get to heaven, we're still going to be singing Nothing But the Blood. You know, we're still going to be singing, Nothing for Sin Can Atone. This is all my righteousness. We're still going to be singing that when we get to heaven, because it's still going to be applicable. If you're not redeemed this morning, you're not saved this morning, you have nothing to be eternally thankful for. Nothing. You might think of yourself as being a grateful person. But I'm telling you, there might be a lot of grateful other people in hell with you. You can't do anything to contribute to your salvation. Jesus paid it all. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please, and we prepare for an invitation hymn here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you so much. We thank you so much for reminding us that you are King over every aspect of our lives. You are the eternal governor. You are the master and you are the shepherd. You alone by your power hold everything together. And out of your goodness and your mercy and your grace, we have life, we have breath, we have a heart that beats right now. We have health in our bodies. You have blessed us with so much that it literally and truly, if we were to begin to count our blessings, it would be nearly impossible to count them all. Father, we pray, though, that you would bless us today with your presence. And if there's one here who does not know you personally, who truly cannot say that they are a child of God, that your Spirit would weigh so heavily upon them that they almost could not refuse. I realize everybody has a will. But I pray that the weight of your conviction would be upon them so heavily that it appears as though they have no alternative but to turn to Christ. Lord, help us to walk before you, recognizing your sovereignty, bowing before you as the God of all good, recognizing you as the source of everything and being ever so humble, praising you and worshiping you and thanking you. May it be the tenor of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
5:18. How we pray and while we plead, while you sing your soul's in need.